Brother Mill coming off the disabled list and leading our singing today, fighting a good fight. The first two songs that we sang tonight, "In He Is In Our Midst" and "Closer to Thee," deal with our topic tonight, which is entitled "How You Worship." Not anybody else, but how you worship. We want to talk to you tonight, and as we used to say when we were kids, you just tend like you're the onlyest one here, okay? You got that? You know, think about anybody else. Boy, they sure are going to need this lesson, or they sure got nailed tonight. Because we all probably will. The reason that I got this lesson was for me. These words don't just go out, but they reverberate back to me. I needed to hear this. Had a preacher when I was growing up, he said, "I can tell whether somebody's listening to me or not." And I said, "You're not going to be able to tell where I'm listening or not. I'll be looking right at you." Well, you can tell, can't you? When you're talking to somebody, whether they're listening or not, whether they react to what you're saying or not, or whether they're thinking about something else or somebody else. If you've taught a class, you know that, don't you? If you've preached a lesson, you can tell when people are bored to tears. When we were little, my brothers and I used to play church. You ever do that? Anybody ever play church? Sure we did. We'd get our high C grape juice in the cans. I remember that. And our saltine crackers. And we'd either go to the basement steps or to the back porch steps. And you can guess who was preaching? I've been my older brother. And he kept us for an hour and a half. No. But we've all done that. And sometimes we don't outgrow playing church. And I don't want you to take this example too hard, but my granddad used to have three cows. And they knew where their stall was. Every time he'd send old Pudge out to get those cows, they'd come running down the hill, and they'd always find the right stall. And if they didn't, oh, it was a real mess. Chickens were running and flying, and everything was all a mess. We got two cows in one stall, and nobody was happy. Sometimes we get my pew. That's my pew. And if we're taking attendance, we know where somebody sits, don't we? And, oh, he's not here tonight. Well, we look right where they're supposed to be. And at home, sometimes members will move on me, and they're over here. Just to do that, to aggravate me. But you understand what I'm talking about. So we want to talk to you tonight as if you and I were the only ones here. Sometimes we get into a rut. Isn't it good to see fans? Well, I guess not. We've been so cold all winter. We get into a rut. And somebody said the only difference between a rut and a grave is that a rut has both ends knocked out. And you don't get in a rut by just doing something once, do you? You get in a rut by doing something over and over, and you say, "Well, I could do that with my eyes closed." And some people do that as they worship. They do it with their eyes closed. Well, do you ever have a speaker come up to the microphone and say, "May I have your attention?" Sometimes it takes 5 or 9 of those to get people's attention. How about a sergeant? Did he ever say, you ever heard that man or ever seen it in a movie? A sergeant come up and say to all of his men, "May I have your attention?" Is that how he says it? No, all he has to do is say that word, doesn't he? As a matter of fact, he doesn't even pronounce it right. Attend. And everybody, there, if there's movement going on, you stop that right away. If your mouth is moving mid-sentence, you're done. "But I wasn't done. I was." You don't get it. I wasn't finished yet. It's over, isn't it? And recognizing, as we sang in that song, "He is in our midst." Does that get your attention? Closer to Thee. Do we really want to be closer to Him? How much closer can we be? He is in our midst. As we sang tonight, and aren't those songs beautiful? And aren't we blessed to have songwriters can write that, those beautiful words that grab your heart? And some of them will make you cry, and some of them will make you overjoyed with happiness. And as we sing, do we sing with our heart up here? I can sing that. I don't even need the book. Now that may be true. I don't even need the book. But are you thinking about what you are singing? How many times in prayers, and I've said it too, Lord, be with us through the further exercise of this hour. And I remember as a little child thinking, exercise? We're not doing any exercise. Yes, we are, aren't we? But here when we come to worship, it's from here up, isn't it? With our hearts. And God has to have our attention. Nothing can distract us. Oh, what was that? Nothing can distract us. On the other side of the room, behind us, in front of us, if I am so focused, I don't care what happens, I am going to be focused and keeping my mind on what is going on. Either during the song or a prayer. Are there things that are going to disrupt sometimes? Yes. Yes. Sometimes a baby will fall and all of our attention goes there. You know, if you mothers, young or old, you remember, you do not want the whole crowd gawking at you, do you? If that baby has to be taken out, we had a member, we called him Gooseneck. Sit about right up here, second to third row. And whenever somebody got out, he could hear them standing up, and he had to turn around and see who it was. Until they got through the doors, and it was okay, he could turn right back around. And then when they came back in, guess what? He had to see who it was. Is that distracting? Shake your head this way. Yes, it is distracting. Okay? So I try to be, when I'm listening, have my attention focused completely, whatever's going on. I had a speed reading teacher in college. He said, I'm going to be able to leave this classroom and you won't know it. And I'm thinking, no teacher ever left the classroom that I, Mo Hafley, was in that I didn't know about it. Well, he gave us 35 pages to read in 5 minutes, and we're going to be tested over it. I got through reading, and where was the teacher? I didn't know he left. He said a helicopter could land outside this window here, the school room window, and you won't even know it because you will be so concentrated on what you're reading so fast, so furious, that you won't be able to think about anything else but what you're doing. Can you do that? In one easy lesson, okay, Brother Hafley, I got it right now. What was that? Doesn't take much to take your focus off, does it? And when that happens to you, and I guarantee you it will happen, you have to say it to yourself and not out loud, but attention. Focus back where it ought to be. He is in our midst. Thank you, Mel, for leading that. How appropriate. Sometimes God leads us and we don't even know it, don't we? We must draw nigh to God with our heart. What happens when we don't? What did Jesus say to the Jews in Matthew 5 and or 15 and verse 7? Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you? You honor me with your mouth and your lips, but your heart is far from me. In vain you do worship me. Oh, we could sing all to Jesus I surrender and not be thinking a thing about what we're singing. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others, and not be even thinking, because I can. You think you can't do two things at once? Yeah, you can. And the devil doesn't care that you're here, because he can distract you, can't he? Can't he? Yes. Yes, he can. And he's in our midst. Well, he doesn't come into church, Billy. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. And to get your focus off what we're supposed to be on. And like I said, one little lesson is not going to cure, get me out of my rut. Tomorrow night when I come, I'm going to have to be focused again. Who did I say got this lesson? And what for? For me. I need to preach this lesson in a mirror, don't I? Been there as a teenager a couple of years ago. Thought I was always going to be a teenager, didn't you? Guess what? And focused in our worship unto Almighty God. By the way, if you were God, would you accept your worship? How are we doing so far? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine who? Yourself. That's right. Bam. What are those three fingers pointing back? You pointing at somebody else and you're getting triple barrels right at you. Okay. Examine yourself. How am I doing? You see, I'm the one that's on the stage. And God is the audience. He knows more about me than I know about me. Jesus put it like the numbers of hair in your head. You know that about yourself? For some of us it's a little bit easier to count, but even at that. You say, God can't know what I'm thinking. Oh, think again. In the image of man create we God. I can't know what you're thinking. But God can know what all the billions of people in all the world are thinking. You think He's not some great God? Some awesome God? Yes, He is indeed. And so when we come together and we sing and we pray and we partake of the Lord's Supper as we did this morning and some even tonight. Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 21, listen, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Did you ever see somebody doing something and their heart wasn't in it? How are they doing it? Sometimes you get a server at a restaurant and their heart's not in it, is it? It shows, doesn't it? Or a teacher whose heart's not in his or her teaching. Can God tell when my heart's in our worship? Yes, He can. Will this lesson help you? Will it? You're the one. I'm not going to be the judge. Will you ask like the rich young ruler, what lack I yet? You know, if the Lord were standing here, I don't know that I'd want to ask Him that. Did He soft soap His answer to the rich young ruler? Matthew 19. Well, buddy, I hate to tell you this. You ask the Lord, what lack I yet? You better sit down. You're going to get told, aren't you? Yes, you are. And we can't talk to Him today, but reading His Word, He can talk to us. And we can know that when we sing, I am to sing with the Spirit and the understanding, 1 Corinthians 14:15. Not just the Spirit, not just the understanding, not just the truth. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Keeping my heart in what I am doing. How are we doing? There's a song we don't sing much anymore. I don't even know if it's in our song. Don't believe it is. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Proverbs 15 and verse 3 tells us that. He beholds the evil and the good. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. He's going to bring all of that into the judgment. You know, I wish that verse said, Just the good. Wouldn't that be great? He's going to bring just the good that we've done into judgment. But He's going to bring everything. What did He call the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 some 7 or 9 times in about 5 minutes? Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees. What was that, the third group? I used to think that was three groups of people. Those scribes, those Pharisees, and that third group, the hypocrites. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were the third group, weren't they? And he wasn't talking about some people over there. He was looking them eyeball to eyeball. Any wonder they wanted to kill him? And he made charges against them. You know, I might make charges against you, but can't prove it. He made charges and proved it. And the honest and good-hearted people in that audience, the multitudes that followed him, they were shaking their head. Yes, that's exactly the way they are. That's exactly how they teach. That's exactly what they do. Woe unto you. And your worship, as solemn as you may think it is, Jesus said, it is in vain. It is in vain. You ever think about our worship being in vain? David said in Psalm 139, he said, in essence, in a Reader's Digest version of it, I can't get away from you. I can't go too high. I can't go too low. We've had men try that, haven't we? Jonah tried to run from God, hide from God. Did it work? Can we go so high that God can't see us? Well, or so low under the ground that God can't see us? Or so far out in space that God doesn't know I'm out here? Think again. Hebrews 4 and verse 13, the Hebrew writer says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made clear in His sight. But all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. Sometimes a surgeon will open up a body. Things that he could not see, it is all clear to him now. And that's the way we are before God. All things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. And we are going to have to do before Him. Did you ever get caught in something that you wish you hadn't have done? And there was proof that you did it? How did you feel? Did you, I want to do this again? No. Have you ever tried to think about what it will be like when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is before us and we confess with our mouth as our knee bows, our tongue confesses, what we have done in this body? Do you know how you can get rid of those things that you don't want to bring into judgment? You can repent of them. I'm thinking if I'm among those thousands of Jews in the book of Acts in chapter 2 in the city of Jerusalem, when Peter convinces me and thousands of others that we have just killed God's Son. Oh my, what have I done? They were so convinced, they said, how would you ask that? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We didn't just kill John Doe down some nobody. We have killed God's Son. And then when they get the answer, I'm thinking, you do know the answer to that, don't you? What Peter said. I'm thinking there was a song written, or maybe sung 30 or 40 years ago. Is that all there is? Repent. I can be forgiven of that. I don't have to climb Mount Everest or Mount McKinley. I don't have to do some impossible task. But with my heart, repent and show it by a change of my life. God, I am sorry. How are we doing? How are we doing? It's decision time, isn't it? Listen to Joshua in chapter 24 and verse 14. He said, now therefore fear the Lord. Do we? Whew. Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Well, we got the truth. We got that plan of salvation down pat. We got the organization of the church down pat. Oh, we know that. Elders, deacons. We don't call our preachers pastor or reverend or any of those things. We got her down. We got the five steps of the plan of salvation. But is your heart in your worship? Next verse he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it's the gods of the people in whom you now dwell or the gods your forefathers worshipped. How did he conclude that verse? But as for me, you might have the plaque in your wall at home. But as for me and my house, what? we will serve the Lord. That's a determination. And more mothers and more fathers ought to be saying that to their children, shouldn't they? We are going to serve the Lord. Oh, but there's some attraction that's going to keep me from... Oh, I've got to go here. I've got to be there. No, we are going to serve the Lord. Our grandson is on the golf team, and he's one of the best players on the golf team. Next week is our gospel meeting. He has two meets next week. Guess where he's going to be? He's going to be at the meeting. Think God doesn't know? What do you think about that? In Leviticus chapter 22 and other places, God gave those Jews rules, didn't he? And we can read in Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 19. He said, "You shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, or of the sheep, or of the goats." Well, I've got a good female. That'd be all right? Or I've got another kind of... I've got a camel out here. Is that what God said? When he mentioned those three animals, what did that do to all other animals? That eliminated them, didn't it? Could they say, well, that's going to cost me if I just do that? God tests us, doesn't he? God tests us, even in our worship. Verse 20, he says, "But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you." I wonder about my worship. How acceptable is it before God? When I sing, when I listen to somebody pray, as we've done even tonight, did I listen? Did I pay attention to the song? How am I doing? Can't judge anybody else. God is our judge. Now you can turn over to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Did God get rather plain with these people and their worship? Verse 6 of chapter 1, he said, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name?" And God said, "Well, I don't know." Oh, yes, he did. Verse 7 of Malachi 1, "You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible," or the altar of the Lord. "And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" We talked this morning about finding some bread in our little bread drawer. And it's got little green specks on it. You're going to have somebody over tonight after church, and oh, well, they won't care. Will you give it to them? "Oh, we got some green and little blue specks on our bologna." Well, here, then go ahead and eat it. Don't tell them about it. Would you offer that to somebody? Why, no, you would not. You wouldn't, would you? God said that's what they were offering him. The blind, the lame, the scurvy, the diseased. Well, he's going to die anyway. Might as well sacrifice him. That's one of the three groups of animals that he mentioned, but it's not perfect. Why should I offer this perfectly good one? Chapter 3 and verse 10, as we hurry along. God tests us. He said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." Reason. Next word says, "that." Here's why you do that. "That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." I can't give more money on the Lord's day. I've got a boat payment, and we got a vacation coming up, and we've got to go here, and we've got to go there, and I got to get a new this and a new that. Do you know we have closets full of nothing to wear? Honey, I just don't have anything to wear. Really? My folks had a closet. in some areas of our country, they call them a press. And now they are a press, aren't they? If you walked into my parents' closet, you were walking into a hangar. It was about this wide, about as wide as the door. They had all of their clothes in there, mom's and dad's, back in the day. How we doing? Need more floor space for our shoes? I think. We've got refrigerators and freezers full of nothing to eat. Right. Are we blessed or what? God has blessed us. And here I throw in what's left over to Him. How am I doing? I'm just saying. I don't want to be an old troll, but I do want to get our attention. I thought somebody told me when I was talking to them about their worship, they said, just be glad I'm here. Oh, that's all. Just show up with your body, and that's all that's necessary. Well, we've gotten into the attitude of hurry in, hurry out, haven't we? One-stop shopping. There is a grab it here. There's one of those places near our house. Just grab it here and go. Quicker, quicker. You know, even a long stoplight bothers me. Come on. The other day I told Judy I found myself patting my foot at the microwave. Been there? Come on, we've got to go. Brother Haefeli, you've been up there. Good night. Did you see what time it is? You better be wrapping this thing up. My mind can only grasp what my seat can endure. 20 minutes? 25? Okay, let's do that with a television set. Or this afternoon when we went out to eat. 20 minutes, you got to be done. Really? Really? It only occurs at worship. And what have we done? Padded pews. Started out with the padded seats. Now we got the backs. You know what's next? Lazy boy pews. I ought to get a patent, shouldn't I? Somebody on the end's got a little handle. Oh, back we go. Comfort is the game. Some of us can remember when there was no soft, nothing. You're sitting on wood. And no lumbar protecting backs of the pews. And no fans in the air. Except the funeral fans, which some are getting to use today. How are we doing? How am I doing? How are you doing? Are we getting it done the way God wants it done? Talking about our dress in worship, I told somebody out in California, a 70-year-old woman came tramping into worship with spandex on, shorts. Preacher had preached on modesty. She come barging in. She said, "Nobody's going to tell me how to dress." Oh, really? Wouldn't you like an 8x10 glossy of that picture? You got it in your mind? Nobody's going to tell her. Remember a few years ago, the grunge look? I said all you need is a big red nose to stick on some of these people. They're Stars and Stripes Forever clothing. And they said, nobody's going to tell me how to dress. Oh, yes, they were. Oh, yes, they were telling you. You just weren't going to let decency and modesty come into effect. Some of us can remember Emmett Kelly, the clown. How we do it. Two elders' daughters came in with a backless dress on, both of them, making a statement. And I don't just mean round your neck. I mean clear down to the waist, backless. To worship God. Okay. Well, I know you can't put your finger on it, but I'm telling you, we are in danger. The next generation will take it farther. They will. We are allowed to do this.
we'll go farther.
Connie Adams said about 100 years ago, the trouble with walking shorts is that people get tired walking and they sit down. You need to sit down with your walking shorts on in front of a full-length mirror. Guys, all of us, how are we doing? How are we doing? Somebody said we don't sing the song One Blessed Hour anymore because that's way too long to do anything. We got to get out on time. One of our members in Ohio, in a business meeting, he said, Brother Hafley, before all the men, he said, on Wednesday night, we start at 7:30 and we ought to be walking out the door at 8:30. Really? And we start at 10 on Sunday morning and we ought to be walking out the door at 11. Well, I said, I can help that on Wednesday night. We can start at 7. Then we can be out at 8:30. You got a time limit? I said, where are you going, Harry? We'll just call him Harry because that was his name. Where are you going in such a hurry? Well, nowhere. Just want to get out on time. Well, who set the time? Who set the time? And I recognize some preachers ought to maybe cut it off. And maybe you're thinking, you Jew. But in all facets of our worship, in our giving, how am I doing? Am I giving as I'm prospered? Am I giving cheerfully as you had the scriptures upon the board? Isn't that great idea? I like that. Reading those passages about the Lord's Supper and the giving as we prospered and as we purposed in our hearts. In our prayers, do we listen to the prayer leader? Well, he's the only one praying. I don't have to listen. I get me a little snooze while he's praying. Really? Don't we say he's the prayer leader? Huh? What if Mel got up here, he's the song leader, and he's the only one singing? Would that be all right? Some must think so because they don't sing. I've stood up at invitation song, and members of the church, looking around, looking at other people, then distracting somebody else. Hey, look over there. I can read lips. And then the people behind them, they're looking. Sometimes while I'm preaching, I said, hey, time out. We're going to call a T.O. Because I've lost this half of the audience because something happened over here that everybody over there is looking over here. Really? He is in our midst. When we left home today, tonight, or this morning, where'd you say you were going? Maybe to church? How about worship? We're going to worship. Really? Really? At the Lord's Supper. Where was your mind? Did you eat and drink damnation to your soul by not thinking about what you were doing? Do I know that can happen? Yes, I do. And I need to grab my lapels and say, get back at it. Get back where you ought to be. Last of all, preaching. Do preachers have a responsibility? Yes. Not just have something to say, but do some teaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. But the believers have to hear it, don't they? And have to be obedient to it. Peter said a couple of times in his sermon, hearken unto my words. Listen. Charles Stanley, a Baptist preacher, he's on TV a lot. Several times in his sermons, as I've listened to him, listen. But you get your attention. Maybe for a while, but even after that, we get in our rut. And nobody's going to pull you out. While I've been preaching, I've seen people do all kinds of things. We mentioned the sleepers, their heads falling off, and they think nobody sees them. Really. When we grew up, we had 300 people in our congregation in Peoria, Illinois. 300 people. And we knew who the sleepers were. It was obvious. It was obvious who they were. They get good and comfy in their little pew and elbows up, and boy, they were gone. Somebody dropped a book behind one of them on a hardwood floor. Sounded like a bomb going off. Well, it woke that person up with a shout. I don't know if the book was dropped on purpose or not, but I was glad it did. Sometimes babysitting from three pews back. Standing up here and watching an adult make all kinds of little faces at a little baby, either a row or two or five ahead of them. Really? Time out. You think you're not distracting somebody? Or a mother who lets her teenage daughter curl her hair? What? It's a couple in the back row, not here, had to call down. You'd have thought they were all alone in the car. They needed calling down? What do you think? All over them, each other, in worship to God. One time, two boys, 12 or 13 years old, had their feet up in the seat, sitting about five or six rows from the front, several people behind them, saw what was going on. And I thought, well, surely they'll quit, but they did not. So we just walked over to the side and I said, boys, when you stop, we'll start again. You talk about quiet. And parents who were sitting in front of them were thinking, oh, please don't let it be my boys. I went back to that congregation for a meeting two or three years later, which I never thought would happen after that. And one of the boys came up to me, whose voice was now like this. Said, Brother Haperly, do you remember calling down two boys who were acting up in worship? I said, oh, yes, I do. Sure do. He said, I was one of them. Thank you, he said. Thank you for doing that. Wow. I thought it needed it because of where we were. Where we were. It's too important, isn't it? But how are we doing? How will I do from now on to eternity in my worship to God? How are you doing? Can you improve? What lack I yet? I might need to swallow hard. Do I need to hear this lesson? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Even this, as close as I get to God, as the years go flying by, I still need my chain jerked every now and then to pull me out of the rut to make sure I am worshiping God. To know that He is, as we mentioned in the book of Proverbs this morning, He is an awesome God. And He deserves our respect and our attention when we come here to sing and pray and to do what He's required of us. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, I want to tell you, you're lost. Yes, you are lost. You have no hope of heaven. Jesus' death for you was in vain. That's how the apostles preached. Many turned away from Jesus and many turned away from the apostles, but they still continued to preach the truth. Keith mentioned this morning, where did Paul go? He went to the lost, didn't he? That's where we're going to have to go to get them. They're not coming here. We'll have to go to them. And if you are, you recognize I have no hope of heaven. If my heart stopped beating, I was in a car wreck, or some disease took my life, bam. I'm lost in that. We don't want you to be tormented in the flame like the rich man in the book of Luke. But we want you to be happy, blissfully happy, in heaven and that forever, with the saved of all ages. Won't you arise tonight? Repent of your sins, confess Jesus with your mouth, and be buried with Him in baptism. While we stand, Mel, while we sing, won't you come?